Well, hello, this is Ted Johnson with the Fish on Ted podcast. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. If you look at your calendar and turn it back a little bit, we're recording this on December the 13th. Happy holidays to everybody in 2023. And it's been a really interesting fishing year for many of you, whether it be the issues with salmon or issues with stripers in different parts of the United States. It's been a little bit of a challenge, but it's been a pretty good year. And people are recording and reporting back, if you're a guide, that the trips have been up a little bit in 2023. And we're hoping that we're going to start seeing an influx of trips being booked in 2024 with the upcoming shows and sportsmen get-togethers and that sort of thing. Today, we have a great guest. I'm really looking forward to this interview because this gentleman and I have worked together for the last couple of months on some projects, and he's just a really interesting guy. Every time I talk to James, I find out something new. So, James, what in the world is going on in Central Oregon, because that's where you're at, in December right now?
Well, we're up at Billy Chinook, guiding for trophy bull trout in Kokanee.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty good year so far. Well, Kokanee are everywhere.
And in Central Oregon, you can fish almost any body of water for Kokanee, can you not?
No, it's closed in the lakes where I live, outside of Bend. It's all closed up for right now until the end of April. Then they open back up. They'll open up for a while. Okay. If we can even get to the lakes, then last year the lakes were still frozen. So,
right.
Still back with Billy Chinook on opening day over here.
Yeah, you go to Lake Billy Chinook quite a bit, do you not?
Yeah, I fish it all winter long. Obviously, the lakes are closed around here, but I fish it all basically all winter, and then start in the end of April or as soon as I can anyway, guiding up at Palina and Crane Prairie.
Right. Well, very good. Well, James, you're pretty widely known throughout the guide community in not only the state of Oregon, but down in California also, where you got your start. But what happened in your life that give you such a passion for fishing?
Oh, boy. Well, my dad was really into fishing. He sold everything he owned and bought a commercial fishing boat out of Depot Bay.
Oh, he did? Really?
Yeah, he wanted to start his own fishing business up there. He bought some type of salmon or tuna trolling boat. And then before the business even got going, the boat sank right to the bottom. And him and his cousin basically didn't survive it. The water's awful cold in the middle of April when he died. So,
oh, my God.
Coast Guard about a half hour to get there from Newport, and it was too late for them. The boat had totally disintegrated and sank to the bottom, and they were floating there in the water.
Oh, my God. What happened? Did they hit something?
Don't know what happened. You know, I've read conflicting reports about what actually happened to the boat.
Yeah.
They said that one report says that there was bad weather. Other reports say that the weather played no factor in the way the boat handled or the way the boat... One report says that the seas were big enough that they were afraid it was going to capsize, but then I read the Coast Guard report and it said the sea had nothing to do with what happened to the boat.
Really?
I guess the boat was an older one. So
yeah.
Someone said they were in Depot Bay. They heard something and it was probably that boat falling apart. I don't know. But I was 7 years old at the time, so it's been a long time ago and I don't really remember it too well. What I read, you know.
Right.
But other than that, I guess my mom was really into fishing too. She loved fishing. In fact, she, and I think in 1960 something, she caught the biggest sailfish in Acapulco year.
Really?
And she loved fishing. And at that time, I mean, I don't know if I'd fish in Acapulco. Now there's much better places to fish, but in like the 50s and 60s, that was like the place to go, boy. Especially if you lived in Chicago. If you're coming from Chicago and you went to Acapulco, you were doing it
right. Is that where you grew up then? It was Chicago?
No, I was born and raised in Southern California.
Okay.
Yeah, after my dad passed away, went a couple of years before mom to get over that stuff, and then she went and she liked fishing so much, she went and bought us a boat, bass boat.
Really?
And I think I fished my first bass fishing tournament when I was 12. She'd just drive us to the lake and drop me and my brother off, and we'd go fish that tournament. She'd come back and pick us up after the tournament was over. We did that quite a few times. Bass fishing was my ultimate passion when I was younger.
Really? Oh, no. You know?
I was going to be the next world champion.
Yeah? How close did you come to that?
25th place. It was like 100 boats, so I thought that was pretty good.
That's not bad.
I was 12 years old.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I fished that lake quite a bit, though. It was close to our house in Southern California. Fished Lake Castaic.
Yeah.
And that time, the fish were big in there. They were anticipating catching the world record out of that lake at that time.
Oh, my. Really?
You know? No kidding. Yeah, I saw a guy catch a 20-pounder one day, and it just floored me. You know? I was in awe.
A 20-pounder. Holy mackerel.
A 20-pounder. But I guess later on in the years, the stripers got in there just like anywhere else, and it ruined the fishery pretty much. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I'll be darned. How long did you fish that lake? I mean, are you still fishing it today at all?
No, I drive past it every once in a while. Other than that, I don't fish it.
Yeah.
We fished it for quite a few years. I mean, there's a lot of lakes in that area that we did fish. My mom was really into it, you know, and she liked fishing a lake Silverwood, which is in like San Bernardino area, up in the hills there. And she dated a guy that ran the marina there, and she just loved it. We'd go there every weekend, it seemed like, until I was like 18 or 19 years old.
Wow.
We'd go there, being the only guy on the lake, because the lake's closed, and fishing all them stripers and catfish and stuff that were in that lake. There were some huge stripers in there.
Really?
Land. Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Well, that would get in your blood pretty quickly then. And so at 18, you moved out, and did you know that you were going to stay in the industry or get into it at one point?
I always wanted to stay in it. When I was like 18, 19, I was into training dogs too. I trained German Shorthair pointers for a couple of years there, and field trial them. I had 5 Tennessee Walkers, a 10-foot dressing room, horse trailer with dog boxes in there, and we traveled all over the Western United States field trialing those dogs. And that was a lot of fun. I was really into hunting dogs there for a while.
Yeah,
still have a Shorthair to this day. I don't think I've been without one since I've been 16 years old.
Right,
59 now. I've always had a German Shorthair with me.
Oh, no kidding! They're a great dog, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, they are. My wife loves that dog to death, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, well, she hates that. I mean, she does. She loves that dog.
Yeah. Oh.
They're a little much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's been a while.
You still take it hunting?
No, I have her, but I haven't trained her yet because she's only a couple years old. And with the moving here from Northern California to here and stuff, it's just not been. I mean, take her out and run her and get her on some birds, but she's not formerly trained in hunting birds or upland birds anyway.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
What fun. So you brought up you came up here from Northern California, but you were guiding in Northern California for a number of years, were you not?
Yeah, I think I've been fishing there. I moved there in 1999.
Okay.
And I loved it there because I went up there when I was a kid in high school and stuff. I used to go to Northern California up around that area and pheasant hunt and steelhead fish and stuff like that. And I loved it. So when we wanted to move out, we were living in Vegas at the time. My wife hates the desert. So I said, well, I'll move back to Yuba City area up there. And that's where I wanted to be. And the fishing is great there and everything. So we went up there and we decided Yuba City wasn't exactly what it used to be. So we ended up moving to Loomis, California.
Oh.
And then when I moved there, I love fishing and stuff. So I'm like, I said, I was talking to one of my friends and he was a guide. And he says, yeah, you got to do this, that, and everything. So I started at that time documenting my time and keeping an eye on it and stuff. And finally, I told my boss, I said, I'm going to get my guide's license and I'm going to quit working here in another 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And I did it. And within 5 years, he actually asked me, he says, so are you quitting? I'm like, no, I can't quit. I've been pounding nails too long to quit, you know, but
ended
up having guiding for stripers down there and kokanee and stuff like that. There's a couple lakes down there that were close to my house. So I did a lot of kokanee guiding down there.
Oh, you did. Oh, okay. Very good. And so, and that was a good question I was going to ask. It sounds like you were in the construction world. Is that right? Building new homes and stuff?
Yeah, new homes, all customs and track homes. We built since I think I was 21. I've been a carpenter.
Oh, huh?
And I framed houses in 4 different states and been running work for the last 20 years, I think, more or less, running work, for big framing companies in either Vegas or Sacramento area.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
A man of multiple talents. That's terrific. So what prompted the move to Central Oregon then?
California.
Okay.
The fishing's good and everything there.
Yeah.
The fishing's good, but you know the fires and stuff down there. We got canceled on our fire insurance so many times that we just get tired of it. Then my son was up here; he was living in Klamath at the time, and we came up and visited and checked it out. And we said, "Well, let's move to Brookings."
Uh-huh.
So we looked and looked at Brookings and looked at Brookings and kept losing houses. We were putting bids on and stuff, kept losing those. So we decided, let's go to Bend and look at Bend. I'm a kokanee fisherman and Wiki Up was here and I read all about it and I'm thinking, well, I'll go there and I'll be right in the center of this best kokanee fishing in the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get up here and of course Bend's too expensive, so we found a nice place south of Bend and just packed my stuff and moved, but I still continued to work. I was working in Reno at the time and I was driving down there on Mondays and driving back on Fridays. And I did that for over a year. And it just, finally I said, we're done with that. And I can't do that. It takes too much of my wife. I don't see my wife. I don't see anything, but road.
Right.
So the windshield time is killing me.
So
I don't mind driving as long as I'm going to the place I want to go.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. So you're in the last couple of years, then you've been guiding full time in Central Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yep. Very, very good.
I have to work for, because of the area I live in, we have to have a permit to fish this Deschutes National Forest. And of course I have to work for somebody else because no one wants to give up their permit. And there's only 7 permits issued in the Deschutes National Forest for fishing in this area. So I work for J1 Outdoors with Cody Herman.
Mm-hmm.
Summertimes I guide up at Paulina for him, and I do my own guiding over on Lake Billy Chinook for right now.
Got it. Well, that's you have an interesting story about how you got to Bend or the Central Oregon area. And you're right, Bend is a very, very expensive place to try to try to live. And I know people that have, like you that got over there and go, holy smokes, the real estate costs here are just through the roof, you know. But,
well, yeah, if I want to pay those prices, we can pay those in California.
Right, exactly.
Move to a place where you can afford to live so you don't become house poor,
Mm-hmm.
You don't need that.
That's true. That is true.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to just ask you, so tell me about, Central Oregon and the allure of all of the different lakes. A lot of people don't understand, they've may have heard of the big lakes like Odell Lake and Crescent Lake and that sort of thing, but there are 20 or 30 or 40 other lakes just in, 100-mile radius that people can fish. And like you were saying, it's kind of the kokanee capital of the world. It's an amazing place over there.
Yeah, there is a lot of lakes here. I mean, you got the crane bows up at Crane Prairie, which are trophy type of fishery for trout up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a beautiful fish in there. There's kokanee in there as well, but not as many.
Uh-huh.
Which is good because it makes them grow bigger. You get too many fish in the water and you end up with small fish.
Right.
So, and then the last couple of years of Paulina's really turned around and came back. I mean, it is awesome. This year was just awesome. I mean, the average fish was going 12, 13 inches. And you can catch bigger ones as well. But the year prior to that, 10, 11, 12 was a common fish.
Mm-hmm.
But like this year at Line, it was just on fire. And really? A lot of people there, but it still, I mean, from the time you launch to the time you come back, all you see is kokanee under the boat. And it's a good brown trout fishery as well.
Oh, no kidding.
That's where they caught the state record.
Right.
Lina.
You know, we have a lot of listeners that are familiar with trout and that sort of thing. And when they hear about a 11 or 12 or 13 inch kokanee, there isn't as much excitement with those people because they don't quite understand what the fishery is here. And a kokanee is just pretty much a landlocked salmon, is it not? And they're some of the best fish I have ever eaten in my life. And you catch an 11 or 12 or 13 inch fish, that's a pretty big kokanee, although some of them get to, what, 5, 6, 7 pounds, something like that, if you're really lucky.
We're lucky.
yeah. There's this whole movement, it seems like, in the Pacific Northwest about, you know, kokanee fishing, just because it's such action-packed when you get over, you know, get over the fish and they're biting, and it's really an amazing experience.
It sure is, and, you know, this year, because of the clientele that we bring in is from basically Sun River, so everybody's on vacation in Central Oregon to see how beautiful it is here, and end up with a lot of kids on the boat, and that is just awesome because there's nothing more fun than catching kokanee. And I mean, when you run into them, you're catching kokanee, you know, you could have 3 or 4 rods go up at one time, and the kids just love it. And that gets them hooked too, because, you know, you sit on a boat for 4 hours and you don't catch nothing, you're not going to want to go back the next time. But see, this with the kokanee, they're pretty voracious, when it comes to fishing, you know, they attack the lures, and you can't miss with a kokanee, especially with young kids.
Oh,
they
agree. Yeah.
You know, and I probably about every other boat ride out there at Kalina this year was with kids, and that was just awesome. Just, it's nothing better than seeing kid catch his first fish, and it's just so awesome, you know?
So true. so true. Yeah. It's about as much fun as catching one yourself, or probably more fun, you know, with all their excitement and that sort of thing. I've been on many of those boats, and you just, wow, you know, the kid is absolutely enamored at just what happened. And you're thinking to yourself, that guy is going to be, or girl is going to be hooked for life at this point.
Yeah. I had kids on the boat fighting over the fishing rod, and it's my turn. Everybody's fighting for it. You know, I'm like, oh, no, don't worry. It's playing for everybody, you know, which is cool to see. You know, I did the same thing with my son. He had one of his friends that was in this foster care type of system for years and years and years, and he never went fishing. And I took him down into the Delta striper fishing. When he caught his first fish, I was Lord, how excited he was. He had an ear-to-ear smile. It was incredible just to see that. And I asked him, I've never been fishing before. He said, no, they would never let us go anywhere. They were afraid we'd get hurt doing something. So after that, he was hooked too, fishing.
Really? No. Oh, no kidding. I'll be darned. Well, that's cool. And then you have a passion for bull trout, do you not?
Well, I love catching bull trout. Especially, you know, because you never know what size you're going to bring up. I mean, we're averaging, you know, 2-3 fish a trip, which is good for right now. I mean, it might get better in the springtime. Well, it will get better in the springtime.
Right.
But yeah, just catching a fish that we've never been able to catch before. I mean, I've grown up in, you know, California, and we don't have bull trout down there.
Right.
You know, we got some browns and some rainbows and brookies and that kind of thing. But a bull trout, I was like, wow. Pretty neat. So I get kind of hooked on those, and plus, you know, it's fun. You can go fish bull trout and kokanee at the same time, you know, especially at the Lake Billy Chinook.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
And bull trout get a much bigger than pretty much any other trout in the system, do they not? I mean, what's the biggest bull trout that you brought in the last couple of years?
15 pounder we caught last April, but we've caught a 12 pounder recently, and I think we caught 8 or 9 pounder the other day.
Really?
Last Sunday, yeah.
Yeah. Now, how does a bull trout compare to like a lake trout or a Mackinac?
They're basically the same fish. I mean, not really the same fish, but they're both in the char family, so they're not really even trout. They're chars.
Right.
You know, they're pretty close. I mean, you want to kind of fish from the same way and handle them the same way. You know, you bring up a Mackinac too fast, he's going to get full of air. He's not going to want to go back down. So you got to slow down the people reeling, especially for fishing deeper than 50, 60 feet of water. We want to slow down bringing them up, you know, because a lot of times we're fishing in 90 feet of water.
Oh, wow.
And I tell them, slow down a little bit. You know, we can get them to go back down, but because we pretty much catch and release all the bull trout. Doesn't matter what, if it's illegal or not. I mean, you're more than welcome to take it, but if you want something good to eat, we'll go catch some coconut. I mean, you can let the bull trout go.
Yeah.
Because they're not as plentiful.
Right.
Actually, they're not as good to eat either. I mean, I know people smoke them and like to eat smoked fish. I said, you could smoke really bad fish and it'll taste okay. And I remember years ago, a guy told me, he goes, you want good smoked fish? He's a smoked good fish. And I said, you're right. No more black salmon in this guy's smoker.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah, when you first start fishing for salmon, you think you just got the most beautiful fish in the world. When you catch a 20-pound fish that's red and black, you know, you're like, yeah. And you eat it and you tell yourself, it tastes great. And it doesn't.
It doesn't. No, not at all. So you fish bull trout the same way you do lake trout and Mackinac?
Pretty close. You
fish deep for them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fish below the schools of the kokanee.
Yeah.
You look around and you'll see them. And we can also find them where they're, you know, in deeper water. You can just find, you know, a couple sitting on the edge of a drop-off or something on the edge of the deeper water where they're ready to ambush something coming by. And we'll fish those. We'll even just, you know, still fish those too, get up on them and put my trolling motor down and just sit right on top of them.
Uh-huh.
Put my spot lock on my Minn Kota and just sit there.
Oh, no.
You know, like a herring down there.
Right.
Just try to get him to take it.
What? Now, do they eat the kokanee then? Is that what?
Yes. They love kokanee.
Oh, they
get so big there. Oh, yeah. They're ravenous.
Wow.
You bring them up with kokanee falling out of them.
Oh,
you know, they get so big there. That's why this is the only lake in Oregon that lets you even keep a bull trout.
And you said you can keep one over 24 inches. Isn't that what you were alluding to? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same as like a Mackinac. Mackinac is the same. Like if you're fishing Odell, you can keep them over 24 inches. But you know why? You know, when you got such good tasting fish like a kokanee there, you know, why keep that big one, you know?
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
I mean, it's fun to catch. And I mean, they put up a good fight, but, you know, if a kokanee was the same size as a bull trout, you'd have a way better fight to be like hooking a tuna.
Right.
You know, because they fight, but they don't. You know, after a while, they kind of just, like the other day, the guys are like, I think I lost him. I said, no, he didn't. He's just swimming with it. He'll keep reeling, keep reeling.
Right. It's sort of like my first trip to the Dillingham area fishing, and I wanted to catch a grayling, and I told the guide that, and he goes, okay, are you sure? And I go, well, yeah, you know, the Arctic grayling with the big old fin on the back and stuff, and he goes, okay. And so he puts me in this little riffle, and I was fly fishing at the time, and sent this fly down, and whack, there was about a 11 or 12 inch grayling. I brought it up and you'd hook it and it'd fight a little bit and then it'd roll on its side and then you just kind of skiff it into you, you know? And that was pretty cool. And I got my first one up and he goes, you done yet? I go, no, I want to catch another one. So I caught four or five. And finally, after about 45 minutes, he goes, are you done yet? I go, yeah, I'm done. Okay. I got my grayling. Well, now what are we going to do? You know? And so we fished rainbow trout the rest of the trip, that and northern pike. But, you know,
I'd be right there with you though.
Yeah. It was fun to catch. You know, I got some great photos and that's what I was.
Yeah. It's a grayling. No, I mean, it's a grayling. I got one.
Yep.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
No, you know, check that one off the bucket list.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are there other species of fish in the Central Oregon lakes? I know you've got what, your rainbows and your brookies and your browns. What else are you catching when you're when you're fishing these lakes, James?
Well, if we're fishing up at Palina and I get a crew for a guided trip for a full day, we'll fish trout in the morning and we'll try to get the bigger browns, try to catch some of the big browns that are up in there, and they're hard to catch, but they're in there.
Right.
And then after about 4 hours of driving around the lake, we'll go ahead and catch some kokanee after that.
Uh-huh.
Even I've been told there's a good supply of brown trout and billy chinook as well. It's just a matter of finding them.
Oh, there is. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and from what I heard, there's no limit on them in billy chinook either.
Right. Weren't they concerned about bass in that lake, or was that Crane Prairie a number of years ago?
Both of them.
Really?
Bass in both of them. They're both invasive species.
Yeah.
Especially, yeah. Crane, I see a lot of people fishing for bass up there, and I'm a bass fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
Way back, you know, and I would go fish for them there, but it helps the other fish, you know, because those things are basically anything, right. You know.
Right, right.
Compete with the cranebill, which is actually, I think, a native fish to that lake. At one point in time, it was native to there. I guess they've restocked them since then.
Oh, really? I've just heard again the term cranebill, and I didn't realize that they were native to the lake. That's interesting.
Yep.
Weren't they stocking the lakes with the trout out of Canada? What is it? It's avoiding me right now, but anyway, they stocked Diamond Lake with these trout, and I thought they had stocked some of the other lakes, but that's been a while ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I know they keep a close eye on Crane Prairie, though, with those rainbows in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're allowed to keep a fin clipped, just like a salmon or something. The adipose fin's been removed. You can keep that one if you want, but any wild fish, you have to let it go.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. And you fish mainly conventional equipment, or do you fly fish at times for some of these fish?
You know, I want to get into fly fishing. It just hasn't, I mean, now living in Central Oregon, I mean, this is what we do here, fly fish, right?
Right.
I live down the street from, or across the street from the Little Deschutes River, and the Deschutes River's 5 minutes up the road, and I want to get into it, but I'm the kind of guy that either goes in all the way or I don't go in, you know, and fly fishing can be kind of expensive, especially with my taste in fly rods and fishing equipment.
Right.
We're burying right now.
Yeah, I knew exactly where you were going with that. Yeah.
I mean, I look for them, and, you know, I listen to every podcast out there on fly fishing. I'm into it, but it's a matter of getting into it. You know, I would like to start guiding for some of the guys up here that do still water fly fishing, because I got the perfect boat for it, and
right,
it would come out, it would work great, you know?
Right, right.
And I've talked to a couple guys that do still water fly fishing up here, and they do okay, and it looks like fun, and everybody comes off their boats happy, and they got the potential to catch a trophy-sized rainbow, you know?
Right. Right.
You know,
yeah,
if you're 4 or 5 pound rainbow, you're doing pretty good.
So true. So true. Now, you're going to fish Billy Chinook until what, April? And then as the other lakes start opening up, you'll start kind of migrating into some of the other lakes in the spring? Is that your season?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'll guide there and fish it till probably the end of April, maybe into May, June. Then I just avoid the crowd over there, because once it starts warming up and that lake's there, there's all the houseboats and all the partiers and stuff are out there, and it gets a little old.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if I wasn't up there fishing, I'd be out there hanging out having a good time too, but
right. So true.
Fishing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I'm there to have a good time, I'm not going to fish, that's for sure, especially on that lake. I mean, the wind picks up, it can get pretty ugly out there.
Yeah. And so summertime, where are you fishing in the summer months over there?
Lake Paulina. On the Newberry Caldera up there.
Right. You ever get
beautiful
over to,
lake. And,
yeah. You ever get over to East Lake then?
Yeah, I've been over there a couple times. It's just harder to launch over there because the water level starts to drop.
Oh,
the water level at Paulina seems to stay pretty steady.
Yeah.
So you can get in and out and not too bad. And that, you know, the Coconut or Paulina, I've caught Coconut of I don't know how many lakes. That is definitely the nicest eating fish I've ever seen, and beautiful fish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is.
Right. So if somebody's over there, over there staying at Sun River, which is a fairly popular destination resort, how far is it over to Paulina from there then?
40 minutes maybe.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, it's like 20 minutes up the hill once you on 97 once you turn on the turnoff to go up the hill.
Right.
And it's like 12 miles, I think, from Sun River to the turnoff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's only another 13 miles or so up the hill, but it's winding straight up, you know. It's
right.
A beautiful lake.
Right.
Hot springs and stuff up there. If you want to partake in the hot springs, they're fun too.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That sounds like a good time. And for people that are vacationing over there, holy smokes, that'd be great to hook up with you and in between their rounds of golf and whatever else they're doing, it gives them a nice break.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Beautiful. But, I mean, even the hiking trails around the lake are just awesome, too.
Mm-hmm.
So much to see.
Yeah. So personally, I mean, if you had a species of fish to fish for maybe one last time, what would it be? What's your favorite species of fish to fish for?
Well, it might be kind of off the beaten path, but I love fishing for yellowfin tuna.
Oh, do you really? Ah, okay.
Yeah. The blue water fishing is, growing up in Southern California, we fish the ocean so much that it's I love it, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Been at Cabo so many times that a yellowfin tuna is just it. And Dorado, and I can keep going on and on, but that would be my fish.
Yeah.
It's 1 pound, the strongest fish I've ever caught.
Right, right.
Next to 8-foot mako, I caught one down there 1 year, and that was quite impressive.
Oh, you got a mako down there, really?
I've never seen a fish jump out of the water so high in my life.
Really? No kidding.
Yeah. Threw the bait out to him, hit him right in the head with the bait. Oh, that was good. And he grabbed it, and he swam right back to the boat. Yeah, he swam right back to the boat with that fish in his mouth. And then as soon as he saw the boat, it was straight to the bottom.
Really?
And then straight back up.
Wow.
Went real fast, and just out of the water like a dolphin that high up out of the water.
No kidding.
Yeah, they say they land in people's boats, and that could be dangerous. And I was just like, I can see it happening.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. What an experience that would be. That's crazy, man. I've been down there. I've never caught a shark down there, but, spent a lot of time rooster fishing. And
yeah, that'd be fun.
That was a lot of fun. Got to experience catching a couple nice roosters down in the Cabo area. And,
there's some big ones there.
I would go down there and fish that and yellowtail any day of the week. That's a fun place to go.
But, it sure is.
Yeah. So what's the forecast for the 2024 season where you're at? Any big changes to regulations or anything like that coming up?
They've been tossing around changing the limit on kokanee at Paulina to 10 fish per day, which would be fine. I mean, there's plenty of fish in there, and I think if you bring down the population, we'll end up with a bigger fish in the next couple of years after that, if we can bring down the population in Paulina anyway. I mean, any lake around here, for that matter. I mean, Crane Prairie doesn't have a huge population of that, and Whitney Up, they don't have any population anymore because they don't have any water.
Right.
Billy Chinook, the same thing. They should seriously consider like an Odell limit or Green Peter limit on kokanee there, 25 fish, because that would really help that fishery out, you know, immensely.
Yeah.
But hey, they're probably not going to do that.
Right. Yeah. I fished Green Peter, not last year, the year before. And it was pretty easy to catch a limit of 25 fish. What they didn't tell you was that the fish are all between about 7 and 8 inches long. Really, really small. Yeah. And it was still a lot of fun, and we caught our limit. But boy, we spent a number of hours at that cleaning table after that.
It was
worth it though, with the quality of the fish that we got and that sort of thing. So, well, James, how do people get a hold of you if they would like to book a trip or talk about coming over to Central Oregon fishing?
They can reach me on my website, badfishguide.com.
Okay.
And it's badfish with 2 D's.
2 D's. Okay.
Yep. And then, or you can call me at 530-334-0120.
Got it.
And
then are you on social media also?
I'm on Facebook with Badfish and with James Hinton as well. So
Got it.
Look up both of them.
Very good.
Both taken to the website.
Well, it's great to have you in Oregon. I mean, you bring a lot of talent with you and just a lot of other experiences. It's a lot of fun to see some of the fish that you've caught down in California. And obviously, you really know what you're doing. And for people that are in the Central Oregon area or visiting there, looking you up and spending a day on the water would be, one, just a whole lot of fun. And two, I think it would be very productive, too. But anyway, hey, I thank you for your time today. I really do.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, tight lines to you, my friend. And we'll get you back here on the podcast maybe later in 2024 if you have a couple minutes some afternoon and just get an update from you. How's that sound?
That sounds great. That'd be fun.
Perfect. Well, hey, thank you, James. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Ted.
Okay.
You are listening to the Fish on Ted podcast with your host, Ted Johnson.